We are joined here in the media center with the current Top Fuel number one qualifier, TJ Zizzo. His second qualifying pass of 3.762 seconds at 323.35 miles per hour took him to the top of the category. TJ, this is your first time sitting as the provisional leader of the category on a limited race schedule you run. Can you talk about what that's feeling like right now?
I'll tell you, it's not my feeling. What I just saw on the way up here is when I was walking to this tower, I watched the expression of our entire team when I went to the finish line. And when they saw the scoreboard light up, that's what gets me excited. That's what I'm excited about. I saw that they jumped for joy like they just won the event. And one of the guys even had tears in his eyes. So that's what it's about, honestly, because our guys work really hard on our race car. I realize I haven't raced since the U.S. Nationals. I understand that. Everyone understands that. But we're constantly working on it. You know, some part-time teams, they park their car for an extended period of time, and then they kind of get it out of the woodwork, right, per se, and run their car to just run it. We don't do that. We really race hard, and I choose to spend time away from my family, my wife, my daughter. You know, I choose to do that, so I better make it worthwhile, because the most disappointing thing I get to do after first round of losing is call my wife. And then she says, hey, why in the world do you do all this and lose first round? You know? So when we come here, we want to win, and that's our goal.
How's that pass feel today?
Well, you got to remember, I've been out of the car since the U.S. Nationals. I've been out of the car for a long, long time. What is that, 6 months, I believe? Something like that. So you have to get your bearing on everything. The second pass was certainly better than the first, but it's amazing how quickly things come back. So the first pass, Q1, I tell the guys always, just give me a good race car. That's all I need. I just need something that goes from A to B to get me back acclimated to the power and the speed of this car. It hiked the front end up, probably made some good pictures, I would hope, you know? Yeah, right. Hiked the front end up. I could almost see the photographers under my front tires. It set down, and it was, you know, it meandered a little bit, and that was me, right? But the second pass was extremely smooth. We have lost about 101 pounds off the car this past off season. It's cost us a lot of money, but as you can tell, it's been worthwhile. So on that very first pass, when it picked the front end up like it did, I knew we had to tack on some weight to the front. So we put 5 pounds of weight on the front of the car to bring that thing down so I could actually steer it going down the racetrack. And, of course, another thing we did differently is we're learning about weight transfer on these cars. We've been doing this a long time, but you're always learning something. So when we took 101 pounds off the car, we thought our center of gravity was going to be exactly the way it was. Well, apparently it wasn't because of the way in which it hiked the tires. So it's also how much fuel you burn from the time that car starts to your burnout to stage in the car. So I know I was a little quicker there than I was my first pass. I glanced down at the dashboard and I noticed that. So these are things we got to work on as a team, right? We got to do a little bit better job.
Questions?
Talk about your team. You know, volunteer guys? Do we have full-time crew members? What do we have?
Not one of us are full-time team members. Not one of us. All volunteer because we love it. These guys, you know, I remember in the very beginning, keep in mind, some of these team members have been with us for 27 years working on our race car. One guy in particular, Tony Smith, who does our clutches on our car, he's been with me since we were young kids. The first time I ever really stood on the gas of a top alcohol dragster in 1991, he was there shortly thereafter. He's also the guy that we went up and down the road in a dually crew cab forever, traveled the country with him. He was always my voice of reason, and he still is today. Those are 27 years later, and I've probably paid him about 50 cents, you know? So it's pretty amazing. And there's stories like that beyond just Tony Smith. I mean, most of our guys, our core guys, have been with us for at least 10 years, and that's something special. So that's another reason we could come out here and be successful, because all the guys have done the same job for an extended period of time. Now, the cool thing is, out of my mouth, they heard from me in October that I wanted to race more in 2019. Now, they haven't heard that from me in a long time. And there was a good reason for it. We have a new associate sponsor. It's a gentleman who owns a company. His name is Bob Button. He owns Button Transportation out of Sacramento area of California. And guess where all his money is going? Most of it. Going to my team. to our team members. I mean, that's what I've done. So I told these guys, we have spent the past 3 or 4 years building inventory, buying good parts, doing the right thing for the race car. But unfortunately, all of us get neglected. That's just the way it works, right? Because we want to, all of us want to come here and be competitive. Finally, we could give back. So when I told Bob, I said, hey, the money you're giving us, you know, and I appreciate that. You're not giving it to us, but you're sponsoring our race car. We're giving it back to our team. That's what I'm doing with it. So thankfully, starting at this race, these guys are going to make 100% of the winnings on our race car. It was sometimes a 50-50 split. Sometimes it was a 25-75 split, depending on how many parts we needed. But to answer your question, Phil, they are all volunteer, and they all love what they do.
Data plays a big part in guys coming out and being able to have success at racetracks. And with your limited schedule, you kind of have data, but you don't have the same amount of data that everyone else has. So how does that play a role in you? I mean, you guys have still come out and had success. So how does that play a role in how do you go about executing out there on the racetrack and putting up numbers like that?
DJ, it's impressive, and it's actually more impressive than I think the average fan realizes.